גרמנו לך
הקדושים יותר בארץ הם ארוכה לרבנו הקדוש צדיק יסוד עולם נחל מבי המקור חוכמה רבנו נחל בן שמחה ובן פייגה זכותם תגן עלינו כל ישראל אמן וונדרפול יפה מאוד ליקוטי מוהר"ן תורה למד זין maybe we'll finish תורה למד זין today paragraph זין part זין וזהו פירוש, and that's what that's written. היזהרו בבני עם הארץ. Be careful from to respect the children of the עמי ארצות, the בעלי תשובה. כי זה ידוע, because it's a known thing that those important souls, הנכבדות, הנאשקות, that been kidnapped בתוך התיקלה, into that hidden place, place of confusion, האמור בזוהר, that's written in the Zohar, בקליפות נוגה, in the Noga husks, means the places that you cannot know the truth, you cannot define between good to bad. You see husks, but in the same time you see that they're good for you. You see mitzvot, and you realize that those are the real mitzvot of the Torah, but they're damaging you. So there is a place like that, that a person can find the Hashem Yitbarach, in a temple of worshipping idols in India between those swamis, and he can find Hashem over there. Really, Hashem is communicating with him through the mouths of those swamis, and how can it be? But you're going to ask that person, and that person is going to tell you he doesn't care about those swamis. He's searching for Hashem, and he finds him over there in those contaminated places. And another person, he decides that he wants to go to pray shachrit in a minyan, in a bet knesset. And it's a mitzvah, and there's no doubts about it. And there's no one religious normal person, I'm not normal, so no problem, that is not keeping that mitzvah to go to pray in a bet knesset. So what's going on? And that person is trying to do that, and he cannot. For his wife, it's the worst thing that ever happened to her in her life, that her husband wants to go to pray in a bet knesset. And you ask, why? What's the problem? It's a mitzvah. It's the best thing. Hashem should support me to keep that mitzvah, to put tefillin, to keep Shabbos, purity of the family. Yep. And it's a damage. So there is a place like that. The day and night are mixing in that place, and it's in twilight zone. You don't know where you are. You want to serve Hashem, and to serve Hashem, it's the biggest mistake now for you. And you have your issues, why not to? And you find Hashem over there. A person can decide that he's going to sin, and he goes to sin, and over there he finds Hashem. A person can decide a lot of things like that. So, in that place, there are souls that are stuck in that place. Those are the souls of the Baalei Teshuva. The souls that, first of all, in the beginning, they've been kidnapped from the side of the Kedusha by the snake, by the Yetzer Hara, and he swallowed them, and now they're in his territory. But after a while, like Rabbeinu is explaining in a different Torah, the Tzaddik went through those pipes, he went through all of those contaminated places, and he kidnapped those souls, and he brought them out. But now, they're still very contaminated, but they're not under the control of the Yetzer Hara anymore. They're in the hands of the Tzaddik, but a lot of confusions over there. So, we need to respect those souls. We need to understand that those souls are very important. How you can tell that they're important? Because they've been kidnapped. This is first of all. Why the Yetzer Hara took them? When the Nazis started to fight against the Jews over there. So what first thing that they done was to take the leaders, the most important people, the people that had influence on the public, the rabbis and the leaders of the Zionist, the politic, they fired the managers of the banks and the lawyers. And first of all, why? Because this is how you ruin. You take the most important souls and you break them. You break the spirit of the nation. So the ones that been kidnapped, they could be the leaders of the nation. But now they've been kidnapped, and no one is listening to them. But behind all of that, this is Hastara Shebetoch Hastara. Hashem Yitbarach is standing in those hidden places. Why? Because it's Hashem's plan. Hashem made it to happen. Why? Because now you can see a person that he doesn't have a weapon in his hand, he doesn't know how to read, he doesn't know how to learn. So the Yetzirah is not afraid of him, so to speak, anymore. Because the Yetzirah is looking, a person, he's not capable of doing nothing, he cannot fight. It's not a righteous man that have whole shas that is supporting him, that have thousands of hours of prayers that supports him, that got a family, holy family, he's coming from a very respected family that can support him spiritually. He doesn't have grandfathers that are standing and praying on him. He doesn't have merits of Pidyon Shvuim in his family. He doesn't have nothing. He's poor. So the Yetzirah is not afraid from a poor person. And now that poor person, actually, Hashem Yitbarach, inside of his heart, bringing huge will, and Hashem is increasing that will for Kedusha, for holiness, and Hashem gives him abilities, but he's like undercover. No one is paying attention to him. Who are you? You're a bad tshuva. Even on Rav Shalom Arush, there are so many people that are not accepting from him because he's a bad tshuva. He's like, no, a bad tshuva, another book of a new age book. Okay, a bad tshuva. And you see that that righteous man, by that fact that he's hidden and no one is listening to him and no one is looking at him, he can make steps. He's running forward and he's not listening. And no one is looking. No one is observing. He's a Baal Tshuva. Okay, another Amaretz. Okay, another Amaretz. Yeah. Where have you learned? I haven't. So, and what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing it Bodedut. Who cares about you? This is it. And now you can work. Hashem is doing all of that. Hashem is doing all of that because like that, that we're now under that disguise, we can run forward. We can achieve things that no one else can do. With that pink shirt, what that you can do, no one else can do. Really. That's a ticket. It's a ticket. That pink shirt is a ticket. With that ticket, you can go to places that me with my pink peot cannot go. No one's going to let me in. No one's going to let me in. And you, no one's going to stop you. No one has problems with you. The fact that you have English, people are coming to Eretz Israel, they say, I don't have the language. You don't understand that you have the language. We don't have the language. Because you, with your language, you can achieve things that everyone in Eretz Israel desires to be in America. Everyone wants to live in America. And people in America, they know that they don't have nothing, so they have a desire to come to Eretz Israel. So this is how Hashem Yitbarach is bringing the salvation, the Geulah. This is the Hesach HaDat. Mashiach is coming when thoughts are distracted. They want to be in the television. They want to, and suddenly from the television we're going to come. The Geulah is going to come from the television, from the internet. Suddenly they're going to, amazing show in the television, and they're going to do tshuva from it. No problem. Yetzirah, he doesn't have the problem because if a person is weak, so he's afraid when he sees that his enemy got a weapon. Because you say he can damage me with that weapon. But if you're strong, you're not afraid that your enemy got a weapon. You tell him, here, you can take mine. Why? Because you know that you have something even stronger. You can use his weapon to beat him. This is what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying. He's saying, Yetzirah, what do you want? That they are going to be in the television? Take it. And then everyone's eyes are on the television and they have empty life and emptiness is filling their being and they don't have nothing and they're all stuck on the television and suddenly the television gonna switch and it's gonna have only Emunah channel shows and everyone are, oh, thank you Hashem, starts to admire Hashem and thanking Hashem. And you think, you can think about it, can you force a person that lives now in LA to come to Beit HaMikdash and to sacrifice Korban Chatat, Korbanot Chatat? How you should do it? You have to wire that Korban Chatat with a USB somehow. If not, really, Tachles, Lemaise, Bro Olam cannot change the world in a crazy way like that, to take the free choice from everyone and to bring the redemption and to. So we were there already. It cannot be today. Hashem doesn't want that kind of redemption of Geulah. The people who are going to be like our ancestors, going with the sheep and walking with leather shoes and cloaks and with a staff, mm-hmm. Walking all of the family. People are not able to do that. It's not an option. It's not really what is going to happen. in the future to come. So we need to understand that the Geulah is going to be a very colorful thing. You have to have t-shirts, you have to have sweatshirts, you have to have booklets, pens, chairs, everything you need, bikes, motorcycles. It has to be like that. The name of the Geulah have to be written every place. The name of Am Yisrael, the name of holiness, of Kedusha, have to be in sunglasses, in new modern ski pot, and baseball bats, and teams, and... you have to have sneakers of the Geulah. It has to be like that. And this is how it's going to be. This is really how it's going to be. The Geulah have to come with music, with songs, or what? You need to have only violins and Harrison Neville.
Harps.
And that's going to be the music. People that were in acid parties, you can play the harp for them. They can hear it. They can hear you. But you want to save them all. So the Geulah have to come through all of those contaminated things, and this is how Hashem brings the Geulah. Hashem is not afraid from the Yetzer Hara. There is that midrash that is saying that the Yetzer Hara in Judgment Day, the Yetzer Hara, Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying to the Yetzer Hara, he's judging him, and the verdict is to slaughter the Yetzer Hara and to kill him. So the Yetzer Hara is saying, but Bono Shel Olam, I'm only your messenger. You send me. So if I need to go to hell, so you need to come with me. This is what the Yetzer Hara is answering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Judgment Day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, you need to go to hell. This is your punishment, to be burned in hell. Yetzer Hara is saying, but you send me. So you need to come with me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going with him to hell. He doesn't have no problem. And the fire of hell is burning the Yetzer Hara and cannot touch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No problems, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. You want me to come with you to hell? Be careful, I would love to. What's the problem? It's my place. It's my home field. No problem, it's my place. It's no problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can go to hell. Well, he doesn't have a problem. He's not afraid of fire. No fire can touch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So also, this is what I'm saying always to Avrachim, and to friends that are falling, they're falling to the worst thing of them all, Pgama Brit. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He's sinned in a Pgama Brit. Mamash, Otsaat Zera Lebatala. I don't know how to say those filthy words in English. Baruch Hashem, it's better like that. And he doesn't know what to do with himself. He feels like he ruined everything, and the Yetzer Hara, Mamash, all over him, and he lost his Kedusha, and his hope for the future, and he sinned so badly, and what's good? I'm telling everyone, and students can testify if they're not shy. My answer for that is, you think that Hashem Yitbarach is scared from your Avonot? You think that it's such a big deal? You were sinning so much before of your tshuva that now that you had another failure, you think that you changed something? Really? You damaged the world so much? No. And if you're going to tell me, but now I'm in Kedusha, that you call Kedusha. Now I'm Avrech, I'm learning Torah. You defined yourself, Yetzer Hara, let you believe that you achieved some holiness, and now you fell from that new level. You're mamash. You had a level. You're about Baal Madrigapsh. Oh, wow. Amazing. Shakoch. Imaginations. We don't have nothing. We don't have nothing. You haven't achieved nothing. Everything that you have, it's a free gift that Hashem gave you. And Hashem gave you things for observation, to look, to learn. That's life. That's good. Try that. Pray on it. Desire that. Hope for that. Pray on that. Work on achieving that. The effort, the result, it's not what that you supposed to be after. The effort you should wish. You should want to succeed means to have another day of Avodat Hashem. People looking back on their lives and they're frustrated. I haven't completed Shas, I haven't finished that Masechet, I'm stuck on the same page so many days, I'm not doing it, but if you had a day of real desire to serve Hashem Yitzbarach, it's a successful day. It's a successful day. It's an amazing day. It's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful day. You wanted Hashem Yitzbarach in that day? What you wanted 2 years ago? What you wanted 5 years ago? What you wanted 15 years ago? Today you wanted Hashem all day long. You wanted Hashem from the morning and you weren't able to do nothing. And you wanted Hashem in lunch and you couldn't do nothing. And at evening also the same. And You wanted Hashem today. You know what it means? And it's not we're compromising on being medium. Not at all. Not at all. That's the truth. That's the life. The life is to have a desire for Hashem Yitbarach, because Hashem gives the success. If Hashem will want you to have a complete day with 6 hours of learning and finish Masechta after Masechta, this is how you're going to spend your life. But if Hashem wants you to do other things, so those other things that you're going to do are going to be your share, and this is your share. Because in Sichat Chavirim, conversation, the two people are sitting and they can define for themselves that they were canceling Torah. But maybe in your level, that was the thing that kept you in the yeshiva. Think about a person. For you, you're not learning Torah. This is what that you feel. You sat for 2 hours and you were chatting with your friend that came from I don't know where, and you sat with him. Jacksonville. We have a friend in Jacksonville. And he came from Jacksonville, and now you want to, and he needs help. He needs that you're going to sit and talk to him. For you, in your level, it's a bitul Torah. Yes. You now were supposed to be in Dafayomi, and after it you have a shiur halacha. You sat with that person for 2 hours, wasting your precious time. You saved that person's life. You saved his life now. You know how many hours of Torah, if you were not going to be kofir, if you were not going to reject those 2 hours that Hashem gave you as a gift, if you're going to understand what you achieved in those 2 hours, you achieved life of a person. You saved a person's life. You gave him life. For him, those 2 hours were more precious than 5,000 hours classes of Dror Moshe Kasuto, and 10,000 classes of Rav Shalom Arush, and even a visit in Amsterdam to receive brachot from Rav Berland. Why? Because Rav Shalom Arush, Rav Berland, he cannot grab at all. From Rav Shalom Arush, he's receiving 5%. Dror, 15 to 20, once in a while he gets something. But from you, he got everything that he needed to hear. He heard from you that it's okay to fail. He heard from you that it's okay to talk in the time of Seder. He heard from you that he's got a place in the Beit Midrash. Even that he doesn't know the language, even that he doesn't know to learn. Suddenly you created a place for him in the Beit Midrash by not learning Torah. By talking Sicha Betela. You think that it's Sicha Betela. But it was a lifeline for that person. This is that twilight zone that you don't know how you're going to know. How you're going to know when it's the time to violate, when it's the time to make Mesirut Nefesh, when it's the time to put all of your effort in the Limud, when it's the time to understand that it's okay and just to say thank you. How you going to know? Rabbi Shimon, the Torah is saying to us, Et la'asot l'Hashem, heferu Torah. When it's the time to do for Hashem Yitbarach, it's the time to violate the rules of the Torah. It's very hard to understand. How you going to tell? How you going to know? That's the secret of the Bechira, of the free choice. The free choice, if someone now commanded you, told you, you need to come at 8 a.m. And this is it, and you cannot change it. You have to say Kriyat Shema Bezmana. On that, to the righteous people, they don't have a free choice. Where you do have a free, if you know that it's mamash, life or death, to put your hand in the fire, You don't need to be a doctor to understand that no one is doing it, okay? So, no, you're not doing it. You don't have a free choice if to put your hand in the fire or not. You pass that test. Why? Because for you, it's for sure. To do something, mamash, to steal in the daytime, when everyone sees you in the supermarket, from people to rob a bank, this is something that you don't have a free choice. Why? Because you pass that. You're beyond that. Okay, so for tzaddikim, to break time of Kriyat Shema, not to say Kriyat Shema in the time, or not to put tefillin today, for them, it's not a choice. They don't have a bechira on that. They don't have a free choice. Where is the zone of the free choice? And everyone can find it in his life also, for sure. In the place that you have two options. In the place that maybe it's better for me to sleep a little bit later, or maybe it's better to go to shul. Maybe it's better for me to eat now, or maybe it's better for me to learn. That is the place that you have a free choice, when you have two options. When you have two options. So, how are you going to know how to choose? How are you going to know when to lose, and when to push, and when to fight, and when... How are you going to tell? So the secret of the free choice depends in the will of the person. If you are working on your will, and you're working on dedicating your life to the Avodat Hashem, and you try as much as you can to serve Hashem, and you know that this is who that you are, you're allowed to choose. You're allowed to choose even things that looks bad, even things that you're allowed to take the free choice in your hand. You're allowed to choose. You can decide. Like that Moshe Rabbeinu took the holy tablets and he decided to throw them to the ground and to break them. Something that you cannot tell no one to do something like that. To break the first Sefer Torah that had been written in the handwriting of Hashem Yitbarach, that had been created by Hashem Yitbarach himself. No one can tell you to break it. No one will ever going to tell you to break it. And if you're going to try to find it in the Torah, you're going to see that it's wrong, that it's not allowed. You're not allowed to erase the name of Hashem Yitbarach. You're not allowed to tear a Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to break the Sefer Torah, to burn Sefer. It's not exist. It's not halachically. It's wrong. But Moshe chose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, bring all of Am Israel to talk to me in 2 days. And Moshe Rabbeinu is thinking and he's saying, no. 2 days, it's not the right number. And he's going to Am Israel and tells them, 3 days. We're meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu in 3 days. Oh, there was a clear obligation. Hashem Yitbarach spoke with him, told him, prepare yourself in 2 days. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to the nation, takes his speaker, his microphone, and tell everyone should know in 3 days. What? In 3 days. What? In 3 days we're meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the real will of Hashem Yitbarach. How can it be? Eliyahu Navi, it's not allowed to build bamot, altars, and Eliyahu Navi bone bama in the mountain of the Carmel, he's building an altar. Eliyahu Navi, you're violating Isur bamot. It's an Isur chamur. It's a huge prohibition. You're not allowed to build an altar and to sacrifice sacrifices outside of the area of Beit HaMikdash. Eliyahu Navi is violating that. He doesn't care. Why doesn't care? Because he knows that he can look at Hashem Yitbarach and tell him, "Ata asibot aliba machoranit." You're blaming them that they don't have faith? You turned their hearts back. You! I'm not afraid of you. He's saying to Hashem Yitbarach, I'm not afraid to talk. I'm not afraid to tell you what that I have to say. Why? Because I know that I'm dedicating my life to you. So if I'm dedicating my life to you, I'm allowed to talk. Like we said on Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitch, that he said to his friends, the righteous people, have you been in the Holocaust? No, so you cannot talk. I've been in the Holocaust, so I can talk. Yaakov Bar Nachman told me a story when I told my story on the mikveh with the tattoo on the kakua that a person, a religious person, screamed at me. He told me another story, an amazing story. Amazing story. He told me there was a person that came with his tattoos to the mikveh and came to him an old person that was in Auschwitz. And he came to him and he showed him his tattoo, that the numbers on his arm, and he told him, that was my Holocaust and that is your Holocaust. Mm-hmm. It's a Holocaust, so you can talk. If you went through a certain Holocaust, so you can talk. If you were in the exile, if you know how Long Beach looks like, if you know how New York looks like, if you know how Florida looks like, if you know how hell looks like, you can talk. You can say what that you have to say on hell. You can talk on hell. But if you haven't been there, so how can you talk? So they're going to tell you, but you cannot talk Torah. You don't know how to learn Torah. We're not talking Torah. We're not teaching Torah. We're teaching faith. We're teaching how to believe in the Creator. We're not comparing ourselves to Rav Yehoshua Cohen and to all of those huge rabbis that contain all of the Torah. We're not even thinking to ourselves that we have the ability to talk to them, to negotiate in Divrei Torah. The biggest shame of them all, for me, for an example, is when people respect me and tell me harav, harav, harav. For me it's so funny, it's hilarious. It's mamash, I don't know how to not to laugh in the faces of the people that call me harav, harav, harav. You don't know what it means, harav. A rabbi, open a little bit books that are talking about tzaddikim, about leaders of Am Israel, you're going to see how much Torah they're containing. You're going to understand that it's a joke. Really? You don't see that I cannot read? You see that I cannot read?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it to be like that because this is the way that you're going to hide the light. You're going to hide the light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can teach you all of the Torah in one night. In 1 hour, in a minute, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you all of the Torah. It's not a problem for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got a plan. And the plan will gonna happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to redeem Am Yisrael and to bring all of Am Yisrael from all kinds of exiles, from all kinds of stupidity and nonsense that they fell between the husks, between the nations. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it. And He's got the way to do that. And He's got a sense of humor, and He's got amazing ways, and He's gonna make it to see so nice and so beautiful. And Hashem Yitbarach got a plan. And you need to believe that you're part of the plan. Not to chase after yourself, not to blame yourself in your Bitul Torah, because it can be that Dafka, especially in that Bitul Torah, you brought things to the purpose. You were progressing things, pushing forward things to become, to be real, to be truth, to happen. Dafka in your Bitul Torah. Especially in that time that you didn't went to Uman, that you haven't prayed in a minyan, that you didn't woke up, in that day you purchased things that you couldn't purchase in Shul, that you couldn't purchase in Uman. Faith, dedication, the will to serve Hashem Yitbarach, Adrabah, think about it. All of your friends are going to Uman, and you're not going. Everyone, your desire to go to Uman is getting so strong that it's first of all opened the way for thousands of other people to have Siyata Dishmaya to go to Uman, and second that you're going to go every year after that from the next year and on, nothing going to stop you. Why? Because of that one time that you couldn't accomplish that flight to Uman, that day that you wanted to go to learn Torah in the Beit Midrash and Hashem didn't let you. Your wife, she was screaming, they called from the bank, I don't know, you had a flat tire, whatever happened that day made you commit yourself to the Limud HaTorah in a way that no pages, no class in the world could commit you, could convince you to dedicate your life to the Limud HaTorah like those 5 hours in the garage or in the mall or I don't know what. Because the thing that is important is the will. And if you have the will, if you have Ratzon, Chazak, to serve Hashem Yitbarach, this is it, you're there. You're there! Without learning Torah, without praying in a minyan, without doing even the Shahid Bodidu, not. Because if you know, like Rav Shalom said, if you know that the sadness is coming from Hashem, if you know that even your sadnesses, your failures, your downs are coming from Hashem Yitbarach, you're collecting pearls. If you know that those depths are now meant to be, it's from Hashem, you're going to find treasures over there in the depths of the sea. Things that you cannot find outside. Things that you cannot find outside. You cannot find outside. Only if you understand. If now you found yourself in the depths, and you're scared, and you don't know what you're doing over there, you're looking for air supply, and you have to go out, so you will not going to collect no pearls over there from the bottom. But if you know why you're there, and you know that you're a messenger of Hashem Yitbarach, and you have things to do over there, so you're going to do it. You're going to remember, I have a mission, I'm a soldier. And then, you're not afraid of no darkness. What can happen to you? You can die on Kiddush Hashem. You can join Rabbi Akiva and his friends. What can happen to you? What's the worst thing that can happen to you if you always want Hashem? If you want Hashem, what can happen to you? What? You're not going to learn Torah? It's not a bitul Torah if you want to learn Torah. If you have a desire to serve Hashem Yitbarach, Rav Shalom said, if you're not in the yeshiva, so it's not Bitul Torah, it's that you're in a class of faith now. They're teaching you to believe in Hashem. So now you haven't bought Torah. What did you bought? You bought faith. What is higher? Faith is higher. If really from that Bitul Torah you learn how to believe in Hashem Yitbarach, it's higher. Because why Hashem gave us the Torah? That we're going to know Him. That you're going to believe in Him. So now Hashem is teaching you in a different way. What do you care? What do you care? No. I want my income to come through my employer, through my boss. Why? They don't want you to receive the money. But it's the same money. And even more. It can be more. Someone wants to wire you the money from a different source. What do you care? No. You're looking for respect. You want to receive it from the Torah. You want to receive it from your boss. You want him to pay what did he owe you. Why? Why? Why do you care? I remember myself when I told you, I think, once that when I worked on first or second book with Rav Shalom, illustrating the children books, so Abou Hashem, I was receiving a very, very small amount of money. And and my wife told me, all of those months that you were working, and this is what did you receive in the end? So I told her, what can we do? Let's see. Let's pray. And a few days after, my mother helped me in a certain way. She got something from a certain insurance, something from the government here in Eretz Israel. And she could help me with more than 50,000 shekels to buy a new car. I received a discount to on top of that she paid the rest. So wow. I got a new car. I got and it happened mamash 10 days after that book been published. So I said to my wife, why should we care where we're receiving the money from? And I'm talking about 8 years ago, something like that. Why we should care if now you see that the money came? It's a bigger salvation. We would compromise on quarter, on reva. Quarter, you say reva? We would say, thank you very much. We would, and Hashem Yitzvarach, he's checking you. What's your will? People, they need a job. They need a partner. Why you need a job? You don't need a job. No, they want confidence. They want security. They're afraid to count on Hashem, so they have to have a job. But really, even if you're not going to work, the truth is, sorry to say, you're going to have your parnasah. Hashem going to send you your parnasah. I have so many witnesses that are sitting in front of me to admit. But if you need to work because you have a certain talent, you're helping other people, you're doing something that is required, Hashem wants you to be in that place, go for it. You can save lives over there. Wonderful. You're too afraid to drop that job and to commit yourself to Avodat Hashem. I can also understand that, if you have a reason. But to work because you need to work, to have a job because you have to have a job, and all of those, it's nonsense. It's kfirot. You don't need to have a job. The Or Chaim HaKadosh was working because he realized, he was observing and checking himself, and he saw that he had to do that. Trust me, he was thinking only about Hashem Yitzvarach while he was there. He wasn't dedicating time for parnasah because he needed the money. He could have miracles if he would want it. But he chose to set his life in a certain way that was good for his Avodat Hashem. He, the righteous people, were shoemakers, were builders, banaim, cleaning streets. They were doing it for the money. Immediately when they took the money, they would go and give charity, give it to the tzedakah for me. And there was a rule in Tzanz that the paycheck, the maskoret of the Admor, the Rebbe Mitzanz, they wouldn't give it to him, only to his wife, to the Rebbetzin. Why? Because they knew that it will never going to find the house, that the check will not going to come to the house, the money will not going to come to the house. He would find someone else to give it to him before he will pay for everything else. So it wasn't his paycheck at all. Hashem Yitzvarach is paying. And Hashem Yitzvarach is paying. Hashem Yitzvarach is helping. Hashem, you can see. You can see. So, why a person is afraid? Why a because he doesn't want to work on faith. You don't want those tests. So, sometimes, like we said, the tests are very hard. And you need to try to find an easier path, an easier way to serve Hashem Yitzvarach Badraga, one step at a time, one day after the other, and to work on that, and not to make your life look crazy. But if a person really is dedicated, like we said, on the wheel, that he knows that he is committed to Hashem Yitzvarach, and nothing going to change it, and he will not going to move from his place, his mind is set, this is it. He wants to serve Hashem, so he doesn't need to do no ishtadlut, in nothing. Not in shiduchim, to go for datings, and not to look for a house, apartment, and not to look for a job, because Hashem is going to send it all. It's only that you need to set your mind, what I want to do in Avodat Hashem. And if you see that you're afraid to take that obligation on yourself, so okay, go and talk about it with Hashem, or you can decide to be just religious. You don't have to be Hasid. You can be religious, no problem. Thousands, millions of religious people in the world. You can be a real dati, no problem. It doesn't take nothing from your life if you become to be dati. Adrabah, you're religious. You have good culture, good friends surrounds you, nice people, Baruch Hashem, knows everything on everything. No problem. It's not a problem to be dati. Mamash.
There is something that they don't know, the religious people. They know everything. They know politics, they know Torah, they know sports, they know science, they know everything they know. On the Far East they know, on health they know, natural food, everything they know. Everything. You can be, no problem. You can be so arrogant. No problem. What's the problem? If you want that, it's not a problem. Baal Teshuva, they don't have nothing to lose. Because we're coming with nothing. And we know that we're nothing. And we want it all. And we cannot have it. So we're just committing ourselves to Hashem Yitbarach, to the Rachamim of Hashem, to the mercy of Hashem. Because we know that we cannot learn Torah. How you can learn Torah? You made Tshuva when you were 20, when you were 30, when you were 40. And your mind is so filthy, so contaminated, so full with junk, with nonsense. Every woman that crosses the street, you lose your mind. Every car that runs, you hear motorcycles and I don't know what. And every building, you see options and stocks and everything, real estate. And you come to Uman, you say, all right, I'll go to Uman. You go to Uman and all of the options. You see apartments and you see how much money you can make next year. If you just need $10,000 and next year you're a millionaire. And this is your mind. This is how stupid you are. This is how far you're coming from, that you cannot contain Kedusha. And you say, all right, I'm going to sit and learn Likutei Moharan. And you open, everyone are talking about Likutei Moharan. And you open Likutei Moharan and for you it's like a foreign language. You don't understand what Rabbi Nachman, even Rabbi Nachman you cannot understand. You cannot understand. You cannot even catch the music of Karlibach. You don't know what. The easiest thing of them all in the gates to Kedusha, and you cannot find yourself in it. You cannot. You don't understand. You cannot. When is Kabbalat Shabbat? When are they praying in the morning? You cannot grab nothing. You cannot grab nothing. It takes you 7-8 years to realize when is Netz and when it's Alot HaShachar and how you hold that Natla. What? You're coming from the clouds. You have a small screen that is dividing between you to the Kedusha. You're a foreign person in the Kedusha, and you realize that you feel so empty. And what's that emptiness? It's your humility. People that they feel that they are beyond that, that they already know Torah, they're the real ones that cannot see Hashem. Because they cannot recognize that it's all mercy of Hashem. They cannot see the truth. You can see the truth from a low place. Wonderful. But all of the people that think that they are in a high level, how all of you were laughing when we said that you think to yourself that you achieved a certain level, because you realize that you don't have no level. Why are we laughing? The laugh, when a person is laughing, he reveals the truth. He reveals who that he really is. If you tell a joke on thieves to a person that is a thief, so he's going to laugh. If you're talking about ni'uf, lust for women, to a person that got ni'uf, he's going to explode from laugh, because he loves it so much. That's what makes him happy. So when we're laughing, on what we're laughing? We're laughing when we admit that we're nothing. So you see the people that are coming from the most arrogant places of them all, from Wall Street, they're coming to Eretz Israel, and here they were selling jewelries and diamonds, and they're coming to Eretz Israel, and they're totally humble. Totally humble. They know that they're empty-handed. You don't need to teach them that. This is their understanding. This is what that they feel. This is who that they are. So how Hashem Yitbarach made that? All of these people, those people that have something in their life, he knows Shas, he can teach you. I was also religious when I was young. I can tell you why can they have answers. Why they have answers? Because they don't have faith. They don't have Hashem Yitbarach with them. So they can talk. And they're not thinking about what they're saying. They're just talking and talking and talking, and they're lying. They don't have on what to count. They don't really have no foundations. They don't have nothing in their lives. They just have empty lives. And they have to fill it with imagination. So they're learning about sport and about science and about medicine and about healthy life. And they have a lot of culture. So they're going to the cinema and they have to see the latest movies from those huge directors and videographers. and it's all imaginations, and going to the theater and to concerts and to hear classic music, like that it has something in it. It doesn't have nothing, just huge crowds of empty people that are doing empty things in their lives and lying to each other, and everyone is showing his new dress and new suit like that, and it's only to hide the fact that they all have hemorrhoids. Every person is trying to hide something. The biggest models of them all, the biggest actors of them all, they have pathetic lives. Pathetic lives. They don't have nothing. They don't have nothing in their hands. This is why you need to watch over yourself, to respect people that for you they look empty. Oh, he doesn't have Torah, he haven't learned Torah. He's coming from that twilight zone. That twilight zone, you don't know which souls are hiding over there. Souls that want Hashem. Souls that have a will to, that the world doesn't count for them. I compared it to you once, I said, take a chassid, a frum from birth, put him in the beach, in the sea, in Shabbos noon. Huh? What's going to happen to him? You slaughtered that kid. You killed him. Why? Because what did he going to see in that beach? Going to kill his life. He cannot go back to the Gemara and to learn Torah tomorrow morning. Put him in the cinema in front of a huge screen. Let him see an amazing three D movie. You killed him. You took all of his Torah and you demolished it. You ruined him. This is it. It's a wreck. He cannot learn. Why? Because that movie is going to come back again and again. All of those women, those bathing suits, going to come back to him every day, in every prayer, in every mitzvah, in every limud. You killed him. But take each and every one of us. Put us there. I don't have a problem to be the one. Put him over there. He doesn't have nothing to look for. He doesn't have nothing. He already abandoned that. He already decided that he doesn't care about Long Beach. He doesn't care about all of those bathing suits. All of those women, models, women, parties, drugs, alcohol. Alright, been there, done that, puked. This is it. It's not mine. It's not mine. It's not mine. It wasn't fun even then. Even then when it was fun, it was a fake fun. It wasn't real fun. I wasn't happy. That poor kid, for him, he fell into those imaginations. It looks real for him. For us, it doesn't look real. We know that it's all a lie. That they all have hemorrhoids. We know it. We know it. So this is the greatness of a Baal Tshuva. That he knows the truth. So, it looks far, but it's the closest that you can get. Because he knows the truth. So, it's a truth from a low place. Means humility. So, he reached the purpose. You don't have no Torah, and you reach the purpose. You don't have no Tefillah, and you reach the purpose. You don't have no Kedusha, and you reach the purpose. You don't have a house, you don't have money, you don't have support, you don't have family, you don't, and you reach the purpose. You have Hashem. This is truth. This is truth. This is why we need, for Rabbeinu is saying that you need to respect those people, and it's true. But I'm saying, first of all, try to respect yourself. Because you don't know who you are. You don't know what you have inside. You don't know which soul, which amazing soul you have. You don't know your treasures. You don't know how close you are to Hashem Yitbarach. And if you think that Hashem is not answering your prayers, you don't get it at all. You don't understand how much Hashem wants to give you. How much. But there is a certain path, and you have to go through that path. There is a thin, a narrow bridge, and you have to cross that bridge. Nothing going to change it. You have to cross that bridge. So just accept it. Accept those narrow places. Accept that darkness. Accept those constrictions. Just accept it, and you made it. And this is it. When you accept it, it means that is the you have the ticket. This is it. You accept it. You bought the ticket. Now, 2 hours, 5 hours drive, 7 hours, 7 years, 10 years, 20 years.
like I said, if they someone gonna sign for me that after 120 in the last day of my life I'm gonna complete my tshuva, I'm signing. No, you want to achieve it today. You want result today. But why? The verse is saying lamavet tzaot. The results are after death. Why you want to go somewhere? You're in a rush. It's better to stay. It's better to stay. And every day you achieve a little bit more and a little bit more. And after 120, you complete it all. Thank you, sweet ones.